Tonight we are on the Sunday Night Experience, the big book. We are now on page 64. And we're going to be looking and starting the instructions for the fourth step. We'll probably go, it'll probably take us 6 to 8 weeks to finish the fourth step. We're going to go through it in detail, but it has so much information on how to live and how to do it, and it's very simple. And so I think this is probably the 9th, 10th, maybe the 30th time I've gone through this. I tried to look at some stuff today to see if I could make it fresh for me, and it always is. I got a few new things out of it. We've talked about the promises of the third step, and by the way, if you're new, the steps are in order for a reason. And on step three in page 63, we looked at the prayer and the promises, right? In step three, we made a decision that we wanted to change. Anybody want to do that? We made a decision that we wanted to change, and we needed a new director to change us. And so the decision is not that I'm going to change. The decision is that I'm going to let go of the way I've been and have a new director giving me directions. And why is that going to be good for me? Because I won't be doing the directions. And me managing my life was what got me here. And it didn't work. So step three is just a decision that we're going to have a new director. We're going to have a new game plan. The Chiefs had a pretty good game plan today. Mark was happy. And so they're going to use that game plan next week. But the problem with my game plan when I got here for living is it didn't work. And so I had to make a decision in step three that I needed a new game plan. And it couldn't be mine. That was the other problem. I had a good game plan, but it was my game plan. It didn't work. So in step three, we're deciding that I need a new game plan, and it can't be mine. Now, that's a good thing to make a decision, isn't it? Anybody decide to come here tonight? But you had to do some other things to follow through in the decision, didn't you?
Yes.
You had to get in the car. You had to come in here. You have to sit down. So to follow through in this decision that God's going to be my director. Now, why do I want God to be my director? Why is that a good idea? Well, for several reasons. One, he's all-powerful, and he knows what I need. But the other thing is I need power. And God to us in AA is that which has all power. And I need a power to live, and it can't be mine. So that's why I'm deciding to have a relationship with that which has all power to give me a power to live. Now, this is different problem solving than you see in the world out there. In the world out there, we get a problem when we figure it out, right? We get all the information, we analyze it, and then we figure out what we need to do. In the spiritual world, it's different problem solving. We let go everything that's blocking us from the power, and the power changes us by us letting go. We don't figure anything out in AA. We only figure out what we need to let go of and what's been killing us. Does this make sense? So we said the third step prayer, and at the bottom of 63, it says next, right after we say the prayer. So anybody want to know how long it takes to do the fourth step? You say the prayer and you launch on a course of vigorous action. Now, we're finally starting to do action when we do step four. People say they're working on steps one and two, but steps one and two are experience and to be convinced of something. And step one is to admit something. And step two is to believe something. And step three is to decide something. But we haven't changed yet till we start the action. Now, when we're willing to admit that we have no power to live, and we've made a mess of our lives and we can't stop drinking, we believe that there is a power that can restore us to sanity and fix us. And why do we believe that? Because we come here and people have done it. Now, when they wrote this book, you didn't see the people, but they were telling you their experience of what they did and what happened to them. So the fact that they were able to write this book was enough to help someone who got this book in 1939 to believe that there was an answer. And the other reason it's easy to believe that there's an answer is because when you're completely hopeless, you want to believe that there is hope. And this is a book of hope to the world. So then we've made the decision, and next it says we're going to start vigorous action. And the first step of which is a personal house cleaning. So the fourth step is the first step of the action. And we're in the bottom of page 63. And we're going to clean our houses. We're not getting a new vacuum cleaner. We're not going to mop and dust. What we're going to clean is my personality. We're going to look at my personality, the way I think, and which caused me to act a certain way, and look at my thinking and to clean it up and get it right with God, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, and we went through this, we've made a decision in step three, right? And it's vital because it says unless you make this decision, nothing's going to change. The other problem with making the decision is it's vital that you make the decision, but it's even more vital that you take the action to get the result of the decision. So there's a lot of warnings in AA that if you don't do this and follow through, you're not going to have the result. And a result, having no result in alcohol with alcoholism is like jumping out of the airplane without the parachute. And so we don't want you to live that way. And it's crucial, and it won't have any permanent effect to step three unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things which had been blocking us. So next and at once is when they wanted you to start your fourth step. Nowadays, people take a long time before they get to the fourth step. Some do it quickly, some do it others, I don't know. But in the original people wrote this book, they went through the steps very quickly. Now, I saw a new word in here. It says a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of. So I'm going to face and be rid of the things which had been blocking me. But the things in myself which had been blocking me. Now, when I came in here, I had a lot of things that I faced and wanted to be rid of in other people that had been blocking me. But it's things in myself. That's what you do in the fourth step. The fourth step is where I'm going to face and be rid of the things in me that are blocking me from what? From having God's direction and God's power in my life. Remember, when you're self-centered, you're not God-centered. You can't be one or the other, right? And when you're self-centered, you've centered yourself away from God. And by doing that, you've caused the consciously in your mind separating from the power. And when you do that, you're on your own. And the problem with that is it's the wrong power. And it didn't work for me. I don't know if it's worked for you, but it didn't work for me. So when I came here, I wanted to face and be rid of the things in me which had been blocking me from God. That's all the fourth step is. People are really afraid of it. It's really very simple. Now it says, liquor was but a symptom. So liquor really isn't a problem. People are alcoholics who behave like we did and have the loss of control and loss of choice. To them, alcohol is a symptom of what? What was the real problem that we had? People come in here, they think they have a problem with alcohol. But what our real problem was, was we could not manage our lives. We had an unmanageable life sober. And sober, I couldn't find any peace so that I didn't have to drink. Even on the best day, I couldn't make everything work well enough that alcohol didn't come into the picture. And I will never be able to do that. Alcoholism, remember, occurs when you're sober. And when you're sober, you have no defense against the first drink because you don't know how to live sober so that you won't seek the alcohol. Does this make sense? And so people who drink too much and act like we did, it's a symptom of what they call the spiritual malady, the spiritual illness. Because we were separated from God and self-centered, managing our lives. And when we do that, things don't work well. And alcohol became a solution. Now, the problem, I think, for a lot of us, I can't speak for you, is that alcohol stops working after a while. But you can't stop seeking it. But you keep seeking it and drinking, but it still doesn't work. It worked in the beginning. It made us feel good and okay. But towards the end, it doesn't work, at least for most people who got here. So it says, I have to get down to the causes and conditions. So I wrote the causes and conditions of what? the causes and conditions of how I got here, of how my life was a mess, of my unmanageable life, the causes and conditions of the state of my affairs when I came in here. Because I want to get down to the causes and conditions so that we can treat it. We have an illness, remember? We have a disease. We want to treat the disease. I got to get down to the causes and conditions, and we're going to face and be rid of them. Does this make sense? So it says, now we're going to start upon a personal inventory. Now, an inventory is a written list of things, and we're going to inventory our personality, our thinking. That's all you do in the fourth step. Now, we do inventory twice in the steps, step 10 and step 4. And then also in step 11 at night, we do a nightly review. So the action steps are 4 through 11, really, and two of them involve inventory. So this is very important. We do our first inventory in step 4, and then we inventory every day during the day so we can have a nice, peaceful day. And then at night, we look back at the day and see where we fell off the beam and separated from God and what didn't work. Does this make sense? Now, the thing is, step 10 is where you live in the now, right? The problem is, if you come in here, you can't work step 10 because you don't know how to do it. You don't know the tools because you haven't done step 4. So step 4 is really, you're learning, like you're practicing. You're learning techniques that then you're going to use every day. Does this make sense? And it's personal inventory. It says, this was step 4. Now, on page 60, after we read how it works, it says, the first requirement at the bottom of the page is that I be convinced that my life run and self-will could not be a success. Does anybody see that? Does anybody believe that? All right, my life run and self-will was not successful. It didn't work. Then on page 62, they're very kind. And they say, selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think was the root of our troubles. They didn't say self-centered asshole. They were very nice about it. They didn't really tell us the real whole truth, but we were really a mess. And I was the root of all my troubles. My self-centered, centered on me. I had an obsession for alcohol, that's true, but I was really obsessed with me. We have an obsession of the mind for ourselves. And when we do that, we're all we think about and how we can be okay, and it never works. And then we choose alcohol or drugs or any of these things to try to relieve it. So, and it says at the end of it, in the next paragraph, it says our troubles were basically of our own making on page 62, right? Everybody agrees with that. They arise out of me. So now we're going to look at how the troubles arise out of me in the step 4. Does this make sense? And so we want to see how it rises out of me so I can be recognize it so we can get rid of it so we don't do it anymore. And so it says we had to have God's help. So now we're starting with God's help, step 4. Now this first paragraph, he talks about a business, and he's going to use an analogy of a business inventory. And then the next paragraph, he's going to talk about our personality inventory. And then the rest of step 4 is the inventory of our personality. Does this make, this is all it is. It's not, you can go in this step 4, and there's a lot of things in the internet and all these things. Treatment centers have all these long questionnaires. I'm not commenting if it's good or bad. All I'm saying is the big book is it's a very specific way of doing this, and it's actually very simple. So it says, a business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. And so why? If they keep the stuff on the shelves that nobody wants, then nobody's going to buy it. So if they want to make a profit and be successful, they want to sell things that people want. Right? Makes sense. You go in the quick shop, you don't see all the stuff that nobody wants. They don't order that. Now it's, what month is this? September? They're already stocking for Christmas. Mm-hmm. How do they know what to put in the store for Christmas, the stuff people wanted last year? Now, if you want to go broke, order all the stuff that nobody wanted last year and stock your shelves with. You see, nobody would do that, right? But as alcoholics, we keep stocking our shelves with stuff that doesn't work. And even worse, we think it's good stuff. And some of us are even proud of it. And it's killing us. So a business takes a regular inventory. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and fact-facing process. They can't lie. They can't say, gee, you know, this thing is really looks great. It's really great. And then somebody say, well, we have 300 of those, and nobody bought them, and all this other stuff is gone. So you have to be able to face the truth about it. If you go on Amazon, you want to buy a book, they don't show you the first 10 or the things that are ranked 500 million. It's ranked number one, number two, the bestseller. They're not going to show you the stuff that nobody wanted to read. It's true of anything. And so you have to find the facts and face the facts. So we're going to have to do that with our personality. We're going to see the truth about our thinking. And it's an effort to discover the truth about the stock and trade. And so we want to live on truth. We don't want to live on lies anymore. I forgot to say the set-aside prayer. I say God, and everybody said the serenity prayer. But I ask God all the time to help me set aside everything I think I know that's wrong. Everything I think I know, I don't know if it's true. Just let me have an open mind and let me see truth. We read tonight, Lori read it beautifully, what's the result if we hang on to our old ideas? Nil. Well, what we're looking at now in step four is our old ideas. All the things, the way we saw, the way we looked at the world. And then we're going to look at the results. And it says, one object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods. So we're going to find out the unsaleable and damaged goods in my personality, and I want to be able to be rid of them promptly. Now, why would I want to be rid of them promptly? Because we're going to see when we do the fourth step how these mistakes in my thinking caused me to harm myself and others. They cause our resentments and our fear and our harms to other people. And then we want to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If an owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. Now, one of the reasons you do step four and then you discuss it with someone is because when you write it down, the person that you're writing it down and going over with can help you see truth about it. And you put it down on paper so it's no longer in your mind. You can't distort it. So that's the business thing, inventory. So now he's going to tell us, I'm going to do the exact same thing the business does with my life. Now on page, you don't have to turn there, but in step five it says, we told someone all our life story. Anybody remember that? So people are thinking, oh, I have to write it all out, where I went to college, and, you know, blah, 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 what my grades were. That's not the life story they're talking about. You can see it now. They're going to do the same thing with their life. They're going to look at their life, and they're going to take an inventory of their life, and this is what you're going to present in step five. See, it's entirely different than just telling everybody your life story. Charlie said he wrote 300 pages on his life story, and he said, I made some poor soul read the whole damn thing. And he says, if he didn't want to drink after that, nothing would make him drink. And so we're only looking at our lives in terms of our thinking. And it says we're going to take stock honestly. So the first thing you're going to do in step four is I'm going to search out the flaws in me which caused my failure. Now, if I believe that I was the cause of my failure, right? My troubles arise out of me, right? And I'm self-centered and self will run riot. I want to find the things in my makeup which caused my failure. Now, we said self will run riot is our problem. Anybody agree with that? And a life run on self will wasn't successful. So what does self will mean? It sounds good, doesn't it? So I don't have the handout. Patty's out of town. She's babysitting this weekend. And so I've handed it out quite a bit. But self, what makes up self is how we look at our lives to fulfill our instincts of life. And we have three instincts of life, all of us. Sexual instincts, material, and emotional, and social. And I decide, and started when I was a little kid, how I would fulfill my instincts so I would feel okay. Anybody else relate to that? I had a plan. if I could do this, I would be okay. If I would get the grades, or it was a constant attempt to try to manage the world so I would feel okay. Now, if I put self in there and I'm managing these things, they may not go the way I want. So what happens? You get angry. Anybody ever get angry?
Yes.
Let's say you get these things. Then you're afraid that they're going to be taken away. Or you're afraid it's not going to be enough. Or you did things to get them that are pretty ugly, and you're afraid people are going to find out. So when you're in the center of your world and you're trying to get what you need out there to be okay, you're full of anger and fear. Does this? And then when you do that and you run that, you're going to harm people. So the three things that are the manifestations of self are wrong thinking, which is resentment, wrong belief, which is fear, and wrong actions, which is harm. So we got self here in the center. We got the up here what we're going to get out of life, and the result being self-centered is resentment, fear, and harming others. And that's what we're going to look at. So it says, being convinced that self, was I convinced that self manifested in various ways was what has defeated me? Anybody convinced on that? So self manifests in various ways that defeated us, we're going to consider its common manifestation. So the common manifestations of a self-will-run life is you're angry a lot, you're full of fear, and you're making a lot of bad decisions and harming people, especially in relationships. So all we're going to look at in the fourth step is the manifestations of self. We're going to look at resentments, we're going to inventory that, we're going to inventory fear, and then we do a sex inventory in relationships, and that's it. Not that complicated. And we're going to use that information for steps 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. Because we're going to find out in 4 and 5 the things in my personality that I want God to take away. And then we're going to find out the people we harmed who were willing to make amends in 8 and 9. And then when we do that, the 9th step promises come true. And then we're living in the now with God in step 10. And everything we learn in the 4th step, we're going to use every day. So when you get angry, you're going to learn tools so you can be free of anger. Maybe I think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're going to learn it in the 4th step. And we're going to learn how to deal with fear so it doesn't dominate us. And then hopefully we're not going to harm people, but if we do, we'll know we have to make amends. So the first manifestation, it's in the big book, is resentment. It says resentment is the number one offender. So an offender is, it's a legal term, right? Mark, what's the offender legal term?
What context?
Oh, Mark's still early in recovery. We're offending.
About halfway through,
Michael. Yeah, we're offending something. We are committing a crime against something, and the number one offender. What is it against? What are we offending? Everybody likes that line. Resentment is the number one offender. But what are we actually offending? We're offending our relationship with God. We're blocking God out. When I'm angry, God cannot come into my mind, and I have no power in my life. It's the number one thing that causes my separation from God and from the world and other people, and it causes me to be alone in the world, and it causes me to be disturbed. Now, disturbed for an alcoholic is a very bad thing. Because when you're disturbed as an alcoholic, you'll seek something to make you undisturbed. And that might be alcohol. So alcohol was a solution to a disturbed state. And the number one cause of being disturbed is resentment. Now, a lot of people argue about what resentment means and how long you're angry to be resentful. And you can go on and on. Resentment is any of these negative feelings you have towards another person that can be considered angry, or you find them offensive, or they bother you, or they irritate you. And we have some very big resentments, of course, when we're alcoholics. But we find that a lot of the little resentments build up, too. And I heard something that alcoholics pole vault over mouse turds. I'm glad somebody else thought that was funny. What does that mean? It means somebody can cut you off driving, and you can go from there to wanting to kill them and ruining your day, and your life's ruined, and you're chasing them off the road. And how's that working for you? All you can do is say, gee, you know, listen to the music. Doesn't have to bother you at all. So resentment, we could take anything, but a little anger for an alcoholic over time becomes big anger. And we store it, and we hold it inside, and then it eats at us. And so we have to recognize it. It says, so resentment is any anger. It means to re-feel something, re-feel anger, re-feel negative feelings. So when we do the fourth step and we look at resentment, we're going to look at a whole life, anybody that you had negative feelings towards. Now, you may not feel them right this minute, but you can still look back and you can still feel the negative feelings. You know, those counselors, when I was at the summer camp, and they didn't pick me for the team, the all-star team. Mm-hmm. Well, I still remember that when I was 40 years old. And it hurt my feelings. And it bothered me, and I didn't like them. Now, I wasn't running around all day saying, I really want to get back at those people, but it bothered me. And it was a symptom. And why did it bother me? Because I felt that by not being picked that I wasn't good enough. See, I learned that. And so I wanted approval, and that they didn't pick me. And so I thought everybody at the camp was looking at Michael. He wasn't picked for the team. Well, actually, nobody really cared. But you see how it was for me. And the truth of the matter was, and I learned this from doing the inventory, is I probably wasn't good enough. But you see, not being good enough was my great fear my whole life. And then I didn't get picked for the team. You'll go through those. You'll see it. They're going to tell you what to do in a minute. It destroys me. Anger destroys me. Any anger at the moment becomes my higher power. If you're angry about something right now, you're not in the moment, in the now, and you're not with God. And as alcoholics, we don't want to live in the past. Anger, resentment is anger in the past. Anything in the past takes me out of the moment. So I could be sitting home stewing about something that happened at work. I hear this a lot. People I work with are stupid. I hear that from a lot of people. Well, I had a few of those. And I could be sitting there in my chair, disturbed about something that happened during the day, and the only person that's bothering is me. They're home watching Big Bang. They're happy. They don't know they're stupid. They don't know they're stupid. They're happy. But I'm sitting there bothered by it, you see, and that's separating me from any kind of peace, contentment, and from God. And we do that enough in our lives, and we get bothered all the time, then we're on our own, and it doesn't feel good. And so we don't want to do that anymore. So anytime you're disturbed or angry, you're separated from the power of the big guy. Now, our goal as alcoholics is very complicated. Now, I'm going to explain this. I may have to say it several times. It's so complicated. We don't want to live in the past. And we don't want to live in the future with fear. We just want to live right now. And if we're in the moment, we're okay. Nothing can touch us if we're in the now and we're with God. And alcoholics, I know about me, I spent my whole life worrying about angry about the past and worrying about the future. So if I would stop being angry about the past, I would say, well, wait a second, I got the future coming up. And I'd have to worry about that. And then when I got the future taken care of, I'd remember somebody that made me angry. And we had very little peace. Now we'd have moments when we'd feel okay, and that's when we think we managed everything well, but it wouldn't last. If you look back on your life, you'd really think about it. And alcohol became a solution to that. What we want now in AA is our solution now is to find a relationship with God. And that relationship with God puts me in the now and keeps me there. When I get out of the now, I recognize it and I don't pay attention to it as much as I did. And so this is the basis and the background for talking about resentments. I'll just read one more line, and I'll go through it more next week. It says, from it stem all forms of spiritual dis-ease, for we have not been only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. What we're treating in AA is our spiritual illness. And we had a spiritual dis-ease. We are dis-ease with God. That was my spiritual dis-ease. I was out of ease with God. And when I'm out of ease with God, then I'm spiritually ill and I have no peace. So we'll look at that next week. We're going to go through resentments. And next week we're going to look at resentment, and then we're going to get to the first three columns of the inventory. And then following week we're going to look how we get free of anger. So if you keep coming, we'll go through all of this. So.